Kissinger of Redeeming the Time Brothers Ministries. I want to continue with my series on having read through and studied the book called Victorious Christians You Should Know by Warren Wiersbe. You can find that book online. I believe it's out of print, but you can get it if you go to different book sites and copies of it that people have put up for sale. It's an excellent little book that's an easy read that outlines a lot of the famous Christians in the English-speaking world over the last several centuries, actually. And so the other chapter I'd like to go over, the next chapter I'd like to go over, will be about William Borden of Yale. And William Borden was a man who was born in 1887, and he was a blue blood. What makes him different of some of the other characters in the other books is that he was extremely wealthy, very intelligent, and his family was famous. He was a relative of William Bradford of Plymouth. His family fought alongside of Duke William of Normandy in the Battle of Hastings when the Normans came over and took over the throne of England. He had relatives that were in the Revolutionary War. His family was very wealthy. He had a very Christian mother, a mother who was deeply religious and deeply spiritual, and she encouraged him in his Christian faith. And he had a strong Christian life even in his younger days. He went to a college in Pennsylvania, a high school in Pennsylvania, by our standards today. And there he met, he heard a preacher called Campbell Morgan, or G. Campbell Morgan, which is another character that will be introduced a little bit later in the book. And G. Campbell Morgan was a great preacher and on fire for God. And William Borden wrote his mother and told her that he got a chance to hear Campbell Morgan, who would have been a famous preacher of that day, and how that had touched his life. He was a strong Christian witness even in that, I'll call it a high school, the setup is not the same as today. And after he graduated, he decided to take a trip around the world before he went into college. And so while he was on this trip around the world, at that time was really the height of a lot of the missionary work that was going on both in England and America, sending out missionaries around the entire world. And he met several missionaries at that time and became under the conviction that he was going to become a missionary, as opposed to going into business and working with his family fortune. And so when he came back after that trip, again, had many positive spiritual experiences from that, he was going to go to Moody Bible Institute up in Chicago, but his parents decided that he would be going to Yale. So he went to Yale. He found the atmosphere was not the greatest in the world, but he had several Christian friends. He refused to get involved in any of the secret societies and that was going on at the time, and some other stuff that he didn't feel was a good, positive Christian witness going on. And it was his time at Yale that he finally settled on what he thought his life calling would be, that he was going to be a missionary. He went to a Bible conference somewhere and heard that there were millions of Muslims in China that had no Christian witness whatsoever. So he started to have a vision for eventually going and working in China among the Muslims. While he was at Yale, he would regularly volunteer down at the Hope Mission near Yale, where he would be praying with alcoholics and people who were down and out on their luck, and would be witnessing to them the gospel of Jesus and just doing a really solid ministry. He was already becoming pretty famous by this time. When he got out of Yale, he began to travel the world and speak for world missions and to advance literature, Christian literature around the world, and some other projects that he was involved in. He sailed for Egypt to study with a famous Christian professor there to learn about the Muslim faith so that he could be better prepared to witness to the Muslims in China or wherever the Lord sent him. And while he was there, he unfortunately contracted spinal meningitis and died in 1913 as a young man. And already he had become a pretty famous Christian of his day, so many of the schools around the country, the United States and around the world, and chapels and different organizations held services in his honor for the amount of Christian work that he had done. Now, him more than anybody else, I guess people that kind of fall on any part of the scale, whether somebody's very intelligent or not intelligent at all, in an academic sense, whether somebody is super rich or super poor, whether somebody's, I don't know, super good looking or super ugly, I don't know what other opposites you could have in life or in the world. One of the things that was unique about him, obviously, was that he was somebody that the Lord used that was extremely wealthy. He had everything the world could offer. He could have taken his life, lived at ease, pretty much didn't have to do anything in life that he didn't want to do. And yet, when God got a hold of his heart and changed him, God used him and humbled him and changed him into the image of Christ and used him for the glory of the Lord. And so God is so creative in who he uses, when he uses them, how he uses them for the advancement of his kingdom. And I think that God saves people from different aspects of life or calls them to the faith from different aspects of life so that those people can be a believer, priest, if you will, to and a witness to people that are like them, that have maybe, similar backgrounds. So that if somebody is, was rich in his day, they were convicted by his life and what he did and how he lived his life, and they couldn't use their riches as an excuse for being godly, because William Borden showed them that you could be a very godly person, a person who's very close to the Lord, and still have lots of money. So whether we have lots of talents or not, we're rich or we're poor, we're charming or we're kind of dull, we're ugly or we're pretty, it doesn't really matter. God is able to use us where we're at with the talents that we have and the gifts that we have if we are willing to submit ourselves to being in Christ, to the oneness of Christ, and being like our Savior Jesus. Then he can use us in our life. Somebody said this, or maybe I read this somewhere, but there isn't millions of Christian lives over the last 2,000 years since the church was started. There's really only one Christian life. And by that I mean that Christ is living his life over again in me throughout my entire lifetime if I'm a Christian. The more that I allow him to live it out, the more I'm a blessing to those around me and an advancement of the kingdom. And so there's really only one Christian life. It's Christ's life. Christ's life lived out in every person who is a Christian, no matter what their background or who they are, and living his life out uniquely through us in our day, our time, with our talents, our beliefs, our abilities, and that's how the Lord uses us. I'm excited to read some of the other chapters. I've read this book in the past, but I've been rereading it and looking at some of the characters, and I'm encouraged by every one of them. Because with every person that we read their biography, there's a part of us that can say, well, if they did it, so can I. If they can get closer to the Lord, so can I. If they can have a better prayer life, so can I. If they can witness to other people, so can I. And that's the encouragement of having others around us, even in book form, who are witnesses to the power of the gospel to be able to change our lives. God bless you. You have just a great week. Be sure and listen to my brother's wonderful devotions that he has online, and I'll be throwing some more of these up here as I read through these different wonderful saints of the past and how they've been a blessing to your Christian life, maybe in many ways that you wouldn't even know, like Fanny Crosby. You've heard hymns that have blessed you and didn't even know maybe that it was her that had written those. So God bless you. You have a great week, and you just be blessed during your Thanksgiving week here.